Okay, it is just maybe a minute or two after I'm calling this meeting to order, May 6, 2021, of the historic Savannah Chatham County's Historic Site and Monument Commission meeting. We will start with the an introduction to staff members, or should we go ahead and do the meeting minutes?
I'd like to go ahead and introduce the new staff members. Sure. This is Leah. I first want to introduce you to Kia, Kala, and Temo here. He's been with the MPC about 6 months, and he will be your new staff person.
He's the new Ryan.
I called him that the other day, and he said, no, I'm just...
You're going to love that.
I'm sure he will. So I want to introduce you to him first, and then later today you'll have a presentation from Asian Hurton. She is right here. She's been with us about 9 months. She's in the Advanced Planning and Special Projects Department. She's going to talk about the comp plan. And then Aslan Drosky, who's also been here about 9 months, she's in my department, but she was working on the historic portion of the comp plan with Asia. So they're going to do a presentation for you later. And then Bree Morgan, who has been here forever, as well as Roger Bell, but I twisted her arm and asked her to come down today. She does your minutes and all those sorts of things from the other room. So you get to meet everybody today. So that's all I wanted to do before you went ahead and get started. So.
Good to meet you all. Welcome.
Ashley is here.
Oh, awesome. Hi, Ashley. Okay. Second on the minutes, we're going to do I have a motion to approve the April 1st, 2020 meeting minutes? Sean.
Hi.
This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the April 1st meeting minutes.
This is Tom. I second the motion.
So without objection, I'm going to say the meeting minutes are approved. Now we'll move on to our regular agenda, which is item 3, which is the petition of the City of Savannah Sustainability Department and the West Savannah Community Organization. And we will hear a presentation from staff. And staff, if you could just state your name, I'm sure you realize that, but state your name.
Sure, my name is Kia Kala Ntemo. Item number 3 on the agenda is a petition to install a mural on property in the West Savannah neighborhood. I'm pretty sure everybody on the board is familiar where the West Savannah neighborhood is. However, I do have the vicinity map on the screen. This is Augusta Avenue, which runs through the neighborhood. And here's an aerial map of the property. The subject property is located at 1495 Augusta Avenue and is city-owned. Is a city-owned neighborhood plant nursery. The proposed mural is inspired by the quilt work of the late Miss Emma Williams, a West Savannah resident who recently passed at the age of 102. The mural will serve as the backdrop for the plant nursery, adding vibrancy to the property, Augusta Avenue, and the neighborhood of West Savannah. According to the Historic Site and Monument Commission guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art, murals shall be regulated by a set of standards and guidelines to ensure their appropriateness and compatibility for and with their proposed locations. One standard in regards to theme is that the theme of the mural should be respectful of the greater context of the community, including historic and socio-cultural context. Staff's comment is that the standard is met. The theme of the mural is in commemoration of an iconic West Savannah native and her contribution to the cultural art of quilt making. The theme is respectful to the context of the community because it is honoring one of its own members and bringing awareness to the historical and cultural art form of quilt making. In regards to location, the installation of a mural should complement and enhance the building and be incorporated architecturally into the facade. The location of the mural on the building should not cover or detract from significant or character-defining architectural features. So what I have on the screen is an aerial shot of the subject property. The petition is to have the mural located here on the screen where this looks like a fence is located. That's the actual location where the mural is proposed to be at. So staff's comment in regard to that standard is that the standards are met. The mural will complement and enhance the character of the community. The proposed location for the mural is not likely to serve as a distraction or safety hazard to drivers. In regards to the design, the scale of the mural should be appropriate to the building and the site. The mural should be appropriate within the context of the surrounding neighborhood. The mural should be an original design. And I will show you an image of what the mural, will look like. This is the proposed imagery that is going to be placed on the mural. And this is, let me zoom out a bit, an exhibit showing how the mural would be erected. So in total, it's going to be 60 feet wide, placed upon 15 pieces of plywood, which are 6x4. It's going to be 8 feet above ground. So staff's comment in regard to the design is that the standards are met. The highest part of the mural will be 8 feet from the ground. This is accounting for the elevated 2 feet. This height is appropriate as most wooden fences are between 6 to 8 feet. In regards to the qualifications of the artist should have completed projects of similar size and scale in the public arena and be able to provide appropriate documentation. The artist should have an excellent reputation and be able to provide verifiable references attesting to the quality of work. The artist should be able to provide images or samples of existing similar monuments of work of art. The artist should be able to demonstrate the ability to meet the proposed time frame. Staff's comment is that the standard is met. The artist of the mural, Mr. Brian McGregor, is experienced and has completed numerous projects of similar size and scale. Evidence of his work has been submitted into the application packet. Regarding public notice, properties within 200 feet have been notified of this proposal, and we have not received any letters of opposition up to date. In conclusion, staff recommends approval of the mural at 1495 Augusta Avenue because it meets the standards and the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Thank you for that. Just really quick, so is this is going to be a permanent mural, is that the plan?
It didn't say anything about it being temporary. I'm not sure how long it will be, but it does seem that it's going to be permanent.
And is the petitioner here to speak? Do we know?
Yes, this is Nick Deffley at the city.
Oh, okay, if you hold on just 1 second, and maybe this is a question for the petitioner, but I saw something in the application about the design being based on these quilts.
Yes.
So maybe the petitioner could speak on that then, or do you have any information about that, or maybe we should let him?
The quilts were, well, the actual mural is inspired by the quilts of the late Miss Emma. I'm assuming that the image here has, you know, taken account to the style of, you know, artwork she did on her quilts, but I'm pretty sure the artist or the applicant can give more information.
I'll wait for my question for the petitioner. Does any other board members have any questions of staff? Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa. I just wanted to let you all know I was up for this as well, and Brian got it, well deserving, but this won't change my vote at all. I'm looking at it like it's all new to me, because this is all new to me. So I just wanted to let you all know, full disclosure. Okay.
So I spoke with Lisa earlier, and I believe Lisa spoke with Leah, right? Did you speak with Leah about that?
Yeah.
And what is Leah's determination was that she didn't feel there was any conflict of interest.
It was my choice, really.
So I'll put it to the Leah. Do you want to comment?
Basically, what I said is that if she felt that she could still, judge fairly, even though she had been involved at some point, that she did not. you know, feel the need to recuse herself then, but that I felt that she should at least tell everyone that she had been involved. So.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I mean, as I see conflict of interest, if you don't have a financial stake or a stake in planning, but if anybody else on the board has any objections, then I'm happy to hear that. Tom, can you turn the...
But I'm just curious, what do you mean by, what is your extent of your involvement in this project?
They put a call out for artists or a few artists. And so I came up with my proposal, but then from what I understand, the neighborhood and, you know, whatever it was the decision, I didn't get it. So, yeah. But it was a really fun project to work on.
Sean, did you have a comment?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Staff, just to make sure, are we making a recommendation to City Council, or is the approval made through here?
It's on city property. So typically when things are on city property, you have to make a recommendation to City Council.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of staff? So just to be clear, no one on this board has any objections to Lisa voting on this. Okay. Okay, thank you, staff. And now if the petitioner is here, the petitioner can speak. Petitioner, if you could just state your name and your affiliation, if any.
Yes, this is Nick Deffley. I'm with the City of Savannah. I'm the Director of Sustainability over there. This project is a culmination and a result of a grant funded project that we received to do these three urban tree nurseries, one of which is on the reference property at 1495 Augusta Avenue. Part of the grant requirements from the funder was that we also contribute to beautification efforts or other efforts that the residents specifically requested, wanted to see, and approved. And so I just want to, I guess, speak from that standpoint that this was wholly directed and guided by the residents and the Neighborhood Association of West Savannah, along with the president, current president, Pastor Marsha Buford, and has received numerous kind of feedback from the residents as to what they wanted to do. With regards to the inspiration and the quilts, yes, these were quilts found in a home that actually had been burned out on Comer Street. Fire department found them. And these were quilts that Ms. Emma Freeman Williams had quilted years earlier. And then to kind of commemorate and give the neighborhood residents something that they could remember, something beautiful and creative that came out of the community, they chose to bring this forward as inspiration for the mural. We did, as Ms. Watson said, we did kind of put that project call out. And the city was not a determining factor in evaluating the designs. This was purely from the neighborhood itself, which was true to the grant requirements of the funder, as well as the understanding that the city had with the neighborhood residents.
Thank you for that. And also to clarify the same question. So this is the intent is for this mural to be permanent or semi-permanent, more or less.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. The artist is keeping that in mind as well. The mural will be constructed out of multiple panels, which are also going to be designed that as needed, if needed over time, they could be taken down and in a more enclosed, environmentally friendly space, kind of cleaned up and then put back.
And is the artist here to speak, or are you just speaking on his behalf?
I don't know. We requested a panelist link. I assume he received that. I don't know if I see him. Brian McGregor is his name. I'm not sure if he's on here.
I had a question, and I don't know, maybe our other board members might, but I was just, you know, going to ask the typical question of making sure that there's a protective coating put on this, since it's going to be on plywood. Is the plywood treated? I mean, is there that's why I was asking if it was going to be permanent, due to, you know, weather considerations. Yeah. Have all those considerations been taken into mind?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, the artist has done outside in the elements murals previously. The lumber, all of the lumber will be treated as well as primed with an oil-based weatherproof or weather, nothing is weatherproof, but weather resistant coating. And then, yes, I believe there will be even a weather resistant kind of clear coat over the top of the paint if needed. I'm not sure the details if they're doing an overcoat, but all of the paint will be weather resistant and outdoor. Right. Yeah, rated.
Appreciate that. That's just a question I always ask. I do know Mr. McGregor, and I know that he's done a number of outside murals. So I do have faith in him. So I just always have to ask that question.
Sure.
Do any other board members have any questions for the petitioner? Lisa?
Hi, Nick. This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Are you going to prime both sides really well?
Yes, that's actually the first step. The entire four like plywood sheets for the canvas will be fully primed on all edges and sides.
Okay, that's my only question.
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Sorry. This is Sean. Real quick question for you, Nick. You mentioned that you're doing this same exact project in three different areas throughout the city. One, I think this is a great idea. This is what I think Savannah really needs, is this type of a mural project to go along with especially tree plantings. Yes, Tom, I said it. I think this is exactly what it needs. The two other areas, have you already identified those specific areas as well where the same type of mural is going to have to go as well, or is that still unknown at this point?
Yeah, so actually this, when I said beautification, this mural and the idea of doing public art and a mural was specifically requested by this neighborhood association, this community. So the other neighborhoods, we have done other types of beautification that are not public art, not murals. So we have three different tree nurseries. One's on East Gwinnett Street, where there we actually did they wanted a tree giveaway. So we did a lot of fruit trees and did a giveaway of the WW Law Center. So that was their beautification. We provided them planter boxes from reclaimed lumber that were painted by youth from Loop It Up Savannah. So that was one of the projects. So each one has a different kind of beautification story. This is the only one where we're doing a public art mural at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. And I'll just say, I mean, I personally love this as well. And I love the story of the quilts. I think this is an awesome way to memorialize. It's particularly in West Savannah. I think it'll look awesome. So really appreciate that.
Thank you very much to everyone on the commission.
And now we will, if there is any members of the public, if you could just use the raise your hand, by the way, just to make clarification. So the artist is not here, was that correct? Okay, so there's no one else on the petitioner's side. So if there's anyone from the public who would like to speak for or against this, just use the raise your hand feature and we'll wait for a moment to see if there's anyone that is interested in speaking.
Mr. Chairman, I have no raised hands.
Okay. So, and just to clarify with staff, you said there was no, you didn't receive any pro or con feedback from this.
That's correct.
So we will move on to board discussion. If any board members have any thoughts or ideas, or I would also entertain a motion.
Excuse me, may I ask one other question of the commission?
Sure, absolutely.
So I think this was addressed a little bit earlier, but I just wanted to clarify, does this then still, this is only a recommendation to council, this would not be an approval. I thought that perhaps outside of certain districts that this, or perhaps being a mural, that this would not be required to go through city council approval as well. So I just wanted to clarify that point.
It's on If it's on public property, so Leah, you can speak to that. If it's on public property, it would need to be approved by city council. If it's on private property.
That was my, that's my understanding of how the mural policy works. Is that anything on city property? Which,
okay.
So is this city property?
It is.
Okay, so it would need to go through city council. I, you know, I don't want to speak for them. I don't see any issues. It might just take a little
time,
make a little bit more time, but I mean, we haven't approved it yet, but I'm not seeing this being very controversial. Sean.
Nick, correct me if, sorry, Mr. Chair. This is Sean. Nick, correct me if I'm wrong. Is this on a FEMA lot?
This is not a FEMA lot. No, this is a city owned property.
Okay, thanks.
So yeah, just to be clear, if it's on city property, we would make a recommendation. Our approval would be the recommendation to city council to approve, which they typically do. And if it's on private property, if our approval would stand without city council's necessarily needing to weigh in on that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion by the board or a motion? Eileen, I don't think you're.
I make a motion to approve, Eileen.
So there's a motion on the table to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second?
This is Sean. I second the motion.
So we'll go down the line here. If you just state your name and yay or nay.
Eileen, yay.
This is Tom Gensheimer, yes.
Lisa D. Watson, yes.
Sean Mannion, yes.
And Ashley, if you're there, how do you vote?
Ashley Range, yes.
So the motion passes. Congratulations. This is really a great project. And hopefully city council will expedite this. And the next item on the agenda is, drum roll, please. I don't have control over anything.
So the next item on the agenda,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you put the agenda up just so I can make sure
I got you.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Sorry, this is, it's, okay. So the item number four is the petition of Johnny May Law. At 2828 Pate Street, and staff will do the presentation. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Item number four is a petition to name public property, in particular a park pavilion, in honor of a local community organizer. The location of the park pavilion is in Sarah Wade Playground, a community park within the Ogeechiton neighborhood. So I have on the screen a vicinity map where the star is where Ogeechiton is. It's a neighborhood located off of Ogeechee Road. As you can see, well, probably can't see, but this is Stiles here, and here is the interstate system, just to give you all some context. And aerial map showing the subject property or the playground. The petition is to name the pavilion in tribute of Ms. Dorothy W. Law and her decades of dedication to the Ogeechiton neighborhood. Through her years of advocating for the community, Ms. Dorothy was successful in bringing several amenities into the area, including the playground itself and its new pavilion. Ms. Dorothy passed away at her home in Ogeechiton in March of last year at age 93. In accordance with the Historic Site and Monument Commission guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art, the following standards are a few that I would like to highlight. In regards to naming criteria and requirements, naming or renaming of a public right-of-way or facility shall occur only when the proposed naming or renaming satisfied at least one of the following criteria. It honors and commemorates a noteworthy person associated with the city of Savannah, Chatham County, the state of Georgia, or the United States of America. It commemorates local history, places, events, or culture. It will strengthen neighborhood identity, or it recognizes native wildlife or natural geographical features. Staff's comment to this requirement is that the standards are met. Naming the pavilion in commemoration of Dorothy Law will honor her legacy and encourage others in the community to be invested in the betterment and well-being of their neighborhood. Regarding considerations, naming requests shall consider the number of residents and businesses directly affected, community diversity, historical significance of pre-existing name or location, the appropriateness and compatibility of the request in relation to the existing area, the impact on emergency service delivery and continuity and stability. Staff's comment is that all considerations are met, the proper considerations were made. In regards to application requirements, all requests to names newly acquired, created, or previously unnamed public property shall be made in writing and directed to the attention of the city manager. Such requests shall include the precise location and description of the subject property, thorough description regarding the history of the property or surrounding area, the name, address, and contact information of the request, and an endorsement by the current mayor and at-large alderman or the alderwoman representing the district in which the property is located. Staff's comment is that all of the information has been provided up to date. I would like to note that in the staff report, there was some information that we were missing during the time that the report was written, but we have received that information from the city. In regards to renaming of public property, facilities, or streets, all requests to rename public property shall be made in writing and directed to the attention of the city manager. Such requests shall include, in the instance of a park, playground, trail, or recreation area, supporting petition signed by not less than 51% of all property owners abutting the subject property, the present official name of the property, the proposed new name, the specific location of the property, the name, address, and telephone of the person requesting the name change, a statement of reason supporting the renaming request, a thorough discussion regarding the history of the property, including all prior names associated therewith, and an endorsement by the current mayor and at-large alderman or alderwoman, or the alderman or alderwoman representing the district in which the property is located. Staff's comment is that all of the standards have been met. Staff's recommendation is that we recommend approval for the naming of the pavilion in Sarah Wade Playground at 2828 Page Street to Dorothy W. Law because the proposal meets the guidelines set forth in the HSMC Master Planning Guidelines. And what I have here on the screen was the recommendation prior to us receiving that information that I just noted. So we're just outright recommending approval without any conditions.
So to be clear, I was going to ask, so the information that you needed from the city was the contact information, is that?
Yes.
That's correct. And I have one other question. So this did go before city council before it came here, correct? I did see a city council meeting that they were, they knew they were doing this backwards. And so they did approve this pending.
I would ask Joe.
Okay, so, okay, fair.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, no problem. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I just wanted to make sure we were all kind of had our ducks in a row. Okay, is there any, does the board have any questions of staff? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. A couple of questions. One, is this a renaming or is it a naming?
It's a naming.
Naming, okay. And then my next question is, if I'm not mistaken, and Joe might be able to clarify this, there's actually no set forth process for an unnamed park. It's just a...
Yes, Joe.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Joe Schaus with the City of Savannah City Manager's Office. To answer the question for the Commissioner about unnamed public property,
yeah,
there is a process for unnamed public property, and it's not quite as stringent as renaming of public property because we already have an established name. So under unnamed process, it's a little bit more lenient. Under renaming, it requires substantiated reasoning for changing the name. Therefore, it takes longer and is a much more arduous process. The second question about the procedural order of the petition, you're correct, Mr. Chairman, it did go to City Council prior to the Sites and Monuments Commission. That is obviously not something we've ever done before, and we don't plan to ever do again. We made an exception because the Ogeechinton neighborhood has a very large homecoming event for their Mother's Day celebration, where the community and those associated with it come to town on Mother's Day weekend to celebrate. And we were hoping to have the sign approved for that particular neighborhood celebration. The only way for us to make that deadline was to reverse the order. So we made a one-time exception to place it before City Council first. I will mention that City Council made it a point to only conditionally approve the petition pending approval through the Sites and Monuments Commission.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate the clarification. I don't personally have an issue with that at all. My follow-up question to that is, so if providing we approve this, it will, so they effectively retroactively approved it, would that be the final decision? Is that how I'm understanding it?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. If the Sites and Monuments Commission approves the petition today, it will effectively be approved and not require any additional approvals.
Okay, gotcha. I appreciate that clarification. Joe, did you have anything else to say before I ask if we have any other questions? Were there any other items that you wanted to touch on?
I would like to touch on one item just to clarify the public and the commission. We do have Ms. Johnny Mae Law here today who can speak on the contributions of Mrs. Dorothy Law. But I'd also like to mention for the public's knowledge, the City of Savannah regularly goes through neighborhood documentation processes where we engage the community to document stories and conditions and contributions of particular neighborhoods. In 2005, we went through the Westside Neighborhood Documentation Process, where our Municipal Archive Department, with some partners throughout the city, including Dr. Charles Elmore, interviewed Ms. Dorothy Law. That was on September 9th, 2005. It was in that interview where she provided us a lot of primary resources that substantiated the claims of her contributions to the neighborhood and also helped provide documentation for the history, the rich history of the Ogeechee-Sin neighborhood. So I say that to not only highlight that this particular Westside documentation project helped this process and substantiate the claims of her contributions, but I also want to highlight the efforts that the city makes to document the histories of our neighborhood. And we continue to do these neighborhood documentation processes, which provide a lot of value to our community.
Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate that. That's good information. I have one other question myself. Staff, could you scroll up to the map, the street map? This is kind of random, but I see the Julia Law Street, just one street over. Is that a family affiliation, or does that just happen to be?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, it certainly is. And if it's okay with you, I would like to invite Ms. Johnny Mae Law to speak on not only the family connection of Julia Law, but also the contributions of Ms. Dorothy Law to the Ogeechee-Sin neighborhood.
Sure. If we could hold on just one second, I really appreciate that. Let me make sure that the board doesn't have any more questions of you, Joe, or staff, and then we can move on to the petitioner. Sean, did you get your answer satisfied? Your question answered. Does anyone else have any questions of staff? Okay. No more questions of staff. Yes. If petitioner could please just state your name for the record and you have the floor.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Johnny Mae Law, and thank you for this opportunity. I am the petitioner. I requested that the new pavilion located in Sarah Wade Playground be named after Dorothy Law, who was my mother-in-law. She was very committed to the betterment of the community in the Ogeechee-Sin neighborhood. And I could go on and give you a list of some of her contributions. Someone mentioned earlier that she was responsible for the playground out there. Of course, the playground was named after Sarah Wade, whom the city purchased the property from. Sarah Wade did not donate this property. Dorothy Law asked for a basketball court because the boys or the children were playing in the streets. And during the tenure of Floyd Adams, Mayor Floyd Adams, a basketball court was erected there. And there were no, during the summer, there were many children in the neighborhood. And she would sit on her porch and she would watch them playing over there in the park. And so she asked about information to get lunches for the children. Well, during that time, it would rain and there was nothing to cover them. So she would gather the children on her porch and hand out the lunches to them. So with that, she went back and asked the city about a pavilion, the same pavilion that we're referencing. And it took a while, but the pavilion was erected inside the playground under the leadership of Mayor Van Johnson. There were many other contributions. I could go on and on. For example, the streets didn't have name signs. You would know what street it was, but there was nothing to indicate that this was Pate Street or this was Essex Street. And so she asked for the signs, and of course they did that. They put the signs up. She also asked for the first small sign they had in the Ogeechiton, letting you know that you were entering the Ogeechiton neighborhood, and they gave that. But one of the most greatest significance things that she did, I believe, and I say this because I am a postal retiree, she went down to the post office. They did not have door-to-door mail. They had to go all the way to Ogeechee Road to pick up their mail. They had mailboxes along the street. And she went to the postmaster, she and her sister, and asked that they could get their mail delivered to their homes, in front of their homes. And with that request, she was able to get, there are a number of things. I could go on and on, but I won't bore you with all that. All I can say is that she was very devoted to the betterment of that community. She cared about everybody in the community, and she was known. As a matter of fact, she's lived down there all of her life. You heard someone say that she was 93 years old when she passed on March 1st. Of last year. So I think that this is a wonderful honor to bestow her. Someone asked earlier, Julia Law, was that a relative? Julia Law was her mother-in-law. And that was done some years ago through the church in Ogeechiton. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for all that. I really appreciate it. She seems like a quite the person. I did actually watch that city council meeting where many, many lovely things were said about her. So she seemed to be a very beloved member of the community. I appreciate that insight as well. Does anybody in the board on the board have any questions of the petitioner? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Just to clarify, it's the pavilion that you're requesting to be named in honor of your mother-in-law, I think is
yes. Okay. That is correct. Yes.
So the park is not, it's just the pavilion then, correct?
Only the pavilion. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And sounds like she did a lot similar. She had to deal with a lot of the same issues that I have to deal with and had to deal with in my neighborhood as well. So sounds like your mother-in-law did a lot of work. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so very much.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you.
We will move on to public comment. If there is any members of the public who would like to comment on this petitioner, just use the raise your hand feature online. We will wait a couple of moments to see if anyone's there.
Mr. Chairman, I see no raised hands.
Okay, so if there's no public comment, we'll move on to board discussion. Does any board members have any comments, questions, motions?
I make a motion to approve the staff recommendation for the renaming of the pavilion, the 28 Pate Street to Dorothy W. Law Pavilion.
So there's a motion on the table to approve staff recommendation of the petitioner. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion. This is Lisa.
There being a second, Sean, did you have a question or did you?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
And it's more so just to correct the verbiage that Tom said. This is Sean. You, Tom, in your motion, you said request to rename the pavilion. It should be request to name the pavilion because it's unnamed. Yeah. Good
job. Thank you for that. So to clarify, the motion on the table has been seconded to approve staff recommendation of the petition of the naming of the Dorothy W. Law Pavilion. Eileen, how do you vote?
Yay, Eileen.
I better say it right this time. Yay.
Tom votes yay.
Lisa D. Watson, yay.
Sean Mannion, yay.
And Ashley, how do you vote?
Ashley Range, yay.
And the motion passes. Thank you and congratulations. And I'm glad you all have that. We will now move on to other business. I asked the Greenscapes Director, Gordon Denny, to come do a brief presentation about the Yamacraw Public Art Park renovations. Which was a long time coming, and I'm really happy that is Gordon here and ready? Okay. Yes. So hi, Gordon. Thank you. I really do appreciate you doing this. So I will hand it over to you.
Sure. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Again, I am Gordon Denny. I am the director of the city's Greenscapes Department, formerly known as Park and Tree for all those who might remember. But so I was asked if I could give an update regarding some of the restoration work we're doing at the Yamacraw Art Park. Just a little background. Some of y'all might remember this park was built in 2006. It was to commemorate African American and Native American history in the area, specifically the sites of the nation's first African American Baptist Church, which is the first Bryan Baptist Church, organized in 1788, and the Yamacraw Indian Village, which was also located near this park site. Over the many years, the site has been difficult to keep up due to a lot of damage caused mostly by neighborhood children. We would experience people jumping on the statuary and kind of riding them down and bending their supports. We lost multiple blocks off the Belgian block wall. The etched narrative panels that were created were vandalized to the point where our previous director actually removed them all and put them in storage, most being illegible. So around 2013 or 14, we began looking into creating a restoration project using funding from the preservation fee. But we discovered it was outside of the boundaries where we could use the money. So we had to go the route of submitting a capital improvement project request from the general fund every year. And we were glad to hear that at the end of last year, the Office of Management and Budget was able to identify funding and we were able to create this capital project and begin this year on its restoration. So to give an update on, or I guess a scope of work, so people know what we were working on, this project will restore the fountain. We had to rework plumbing. We had to redo the pumps. We had the capstone, the bluestone cap on the basin. We had to replace a lot of that. We're refinishing the statuary within there. Those will clean and refinish those. We're rebuilding the damaged block walls and repointing the mortar. We're replacing some heaved concrete sidewalk panels. Cleaning.
Gordon, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. Could you speak up just a little bit? Having kind of a hard time hearing you.
Sure, sure. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, no problem. So anyway, in the scope of work, we're restoring the fountain, refinishing the statuary. We're rebuilding the damaged block walls and repointing the mortar on them. We're replacing the heaved concrete sidewalk panel, cleaning and refinishing the banner poles, renovating the landscape so it's a little less heavy and dense and a little more open area and less susceptible to have items either hidden in or trash thrown in, repainting all the light poles and bollards, and we are recreating the etched narrative panels. So the hope is that all work will be finished by the first part of June. Most of those items, most of the items have been done. The biggest issue we're working on now is the recreation of the etched narrative panels. We're in conversation with Jerome Meadows. We reached out to him. He was the artist and creator of the project in 2006. He actually designed most of the space and created the statuary and banner poles and these etched narrative panels. So we're working together to get the original artistry from it and see about having them recreated and whether they're recreated the same with a protective covering because they were a etched bronze, or if they're done in a different material so we can reset those back into the wall and have them protected. So we're really excited. I mean, this has been something we've been trying to get going for a while, and to have the Office of Management Budget identify the fund source for us was really exciting. So it's moving, and we hope to be done shortly.
That's really awesome, and I really appreciate you taking time to come and update us on that too, because I know you and I have spoken about this numerous times over the years, and it was a long time coming, and I know you've done everything you could to get it going. So that's really awesome. So just to be clear, you said you expect to be done in June, by June?
So we have the fountain's back up and running. We've repaired the wall. We're going to repoint the mortar. We still have that and some concrete work. We also have, the refinishing of the statuary and the banner poles. Most of the landscaping has been done. They've still got some more sodding and all work to do. All the light poles and bollards have been repainted. So we hope that everything but the etched narrative panels, those are the ones that we're not sure how long they'll take to be completed, but all the other site work and restoration should be done by the first part of June.
So has Jerome Meadows indicated that's something that's he's working on or underway?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he and I have been in communication back and forth about the panels. He's identified some of the artwork. He's trying to find some more of the originals, and when he gets back in town, we'll be meeting again and going over some more ideas. So he's definitely helping us in a lot of ways.
Thank you for your efforts on that, and thank you for taking the time to update us on that. That's just so fantastic. I know that Linda Wilder Bryant had mentioned something about a rededication or something. I don't know if you know anything about that or if there's any sort of unveiling that would happen. I would love to invite the board to that, or if there's anything planned that you know of.
Yeah. If anything gets planned, I'll let you know. I mean, there's been kind of talks, but I mean, it's not been anything official because we don't know the completion date. But I know people are definitely wanting to do some sort of a rededication.
Okay. I really appreciate that so much. I was just going to ask if any of the board members have any comments or questions of Gordon. Again, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you taking the time to come update us on that.
Sure.
Anyone have any comments or questions? Yeah. Lisa?
Hi, Gordon. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Just curious, what plants are you putting in?
If I remember, you know, it's funny. I think we've got some grasses, like muley grasses along the back of the wall. It used to be a lot of thick, heavy, I can't remember what they were, Pittosporum maybe, or Indian hawthorn that got pretty out of control. So we're trying to keep it like light and airy against it. I think some African irises are in there. I think they've also got some Agapanthus, probably a little bit of Liriope, but mostly trying to keep it very simple and open, nothing too busy.
Okay, that's cool. When I saw this a long, long time ago, I thought, oh, muley grasses. So, yay. But thank you for all your work. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Director Denny, I would probably be accosted by certain people on the Park and Tree Commission if I didn't make the comment. Rather than going with non-native species for plants to add to the park, how about going with native species to not necessarily savanna, but the entire coastal empire?
Well, I mean, we can definitely look at anything moving forward. I mean, the plant material has been installed. Most of the park exists, so really the only thing that has been added has been a few items along the back of the block walls, just some grasses there to kind of soften that concrete back. And then other than that, it's an existing very open, airy. You know, it's got a big, huge live oak, a couple other live oaks. There's some palm trees on the side. that run the walkways. So, but yeah, I mean, we can look at, you know, what possibilities there might be.
Yep. Like I said, and I know you and I have had, we've had this conversation repeatedly through all the Park and Tree Commission meetings. Just always the more native species to the area, the better.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments? Thanks again, Gordon. I really, again, appreciate your time and I appreciate your efforts on this. This is, this is such a great positive moment that I'm happy to be able to give you a forum to talk about it. Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome. And like I said, I'll let you know when we find out about a rededication.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, and also under other business, we have item 6, which is the Plan 2040 presentation. And I'll leave it to staff to take it away. And just make sure you state your name for the record,
Et cetera. All right, my name is Asia Herndon, and I am in the Advanced Planning Department and one of the people working on the Plan 2040 Comprehensive Plan Update. So let me just bring up this presentation. And just a show of hand for the people in the room, how many of you are aware of Plan 2040? Okay, so everyone, okay.
I participated in not one, but two feedback sessions.
Oh, really? Okay, awesome.
I don't know if that was allowed, but I did it.
No, we need as much feedback as possible. All right, is everyone seeing the slides? Okay. So just to introduce Plan 2040 and what we're doing. So the Comprehensive Plan Update is going to be for the City of Savannah, unincorporated Chatham County, Garden City, and the City of Pooler. And in this presentation, we're just going to give you a bit of the who we are and the what we're working on and some of the things that we've done over the Comprehensive Plan process. So this is the Comprehensive Planning Team. We have Melanie Wilson, who is the Executive Director of the MPC, Jackie Jackson. She's kind of the captain of the ship and the project lead. We have Nick Fazio, and he is in charge of our aesthetic design and also social media. Then we have me, Asia Herndon, and I'm working with research and also a couple of the chapters such as housing and economic development. And we have Kate Morano, and she does a lot of work with really heavy data analysis. And then, of course, Aislinn Drosky, she's working on the historic chapter, and Kia Kala is working on quality of life elements as well. Okay. So just real brief, a comprehensive plan is a document that lays out the long-term community development goals for the future of all government local government activities, and the topics range from transportation to land use to historic preservation. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the historic preservation elements in this presentation. And so the MPC has been working on this comprehensive planning process since the 1980s. And typically a comprehensive plan is done for a 20-year time period, 10 to 20-year time period with 5-year updates in between. And so this current comprehensive planning process is being done with it's a 5-year update, essentially. So another reason why we do a comprehensive plan is because it is required by the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. And by doing a comprehensive plan, we can obtain and maintain a qualified local government status. And that qualified local government status is beneficial because it opens access to financial resources such as loans, grants, and funds. And I also wanted to highlight some of the community benefits. So the comprehensive plan does have to be reviewed by the City Council, and it is also a document that's used to inform local policy. So by giving input into this plan, you're also giving input to future policy that will be implemented in the city. So it's really important to get as much input as possible because it has a real direct impact on local government within the area. So we have several plan elements The ones in yellow are required, but we wanted to do more. So the ones in white are not required, and that includes historic and cultural resources. And so we know how important historic and cultural resources are to the Savannah area. So we thought it was absolutely necessary to highlight that within the comprehensive plan process, because a huge part of Savannah's identity is a lot of the historic preservation and the historic culture of the town. Not a lot of towns you see horses riding around, so definitely important to include that. We also wanted to overall have a discussion on themes such as COVID-19, climate change, and resiliency, especially since we are going to see major impacts from that. And then also some of the impacts that we currently experience, such as COVID-19 currently, and then also some of the flooding that we experience during the rainy season and everything. So we felt it was better to start preparing for that now in advance than waiting for it to become a problem. It's better to start putting together a plan than being caught with our pants down when something bad happens. All right, so on to plan implementation. So the way the plan is implemented is that we create large overarching goals that we want to achieve, and then we come up with specific strategies to implement that goal. And for the people who haven't seen the historic preservation chapter yet, the specific goals and strategies, we go into detail for those goals and strategies at the end of each chapter. So this is the project timeline. So this is a year-long process that started in October 2020, which was last year. So now we're in a phase of doing virtual meetings and then also draft presentations. So as I said earlier, we have some of the drafts completed, and that includes the one on historic and cultural resources. So we would really like it if everyone could read through it and take a look to give their input and see if, you know, are we on the right track, or, you know, what should we add and everything. We also wanted to give an example of some of the meeting and pop-up events that we did. So we did some in-person, socially distanced, and meetings, and also meetings that took place outside, as well as a lot of virtual meetings. And the meetings on this slide is not a comprehensive list. We've done even more, but we just wanted to show how we've been trying to connect to the community so we can get more input into this process. And this is our social media page. I don't know if you guys are following it, but please give us a follow. You're going to get some nice, really cool updates and aesthetic stuff made by Nick Fazio that'll update you on some upcoming events and topics that we'll be talking about with Plan 2040. And our Instagram page is @plan_2040. So please give us a follow. Onto our survey. So this is just a brief introduction to the survey. So I don't know if you guys took it, but it was pretty long, but it was necessarily long because we wanted to get a lot of feedback and a lot of input on a lot of the different topics that impact the city of Savannah. And then one of those sections was the historic and cultural resources. And we received over 2,500 responses on that survey, which is really great. And so now I just want to go through some examples of what some of the results we got. So one thing we wanted to highlight was housing. And so this question was essentially asking people to rank which type of housing should be prioritized for the next 5 years. And we also wanted to highlight that senior housing. There's a lot of discussion on how the retirement age population is going to increase. So we really wanted to highlight that discussion because we will need specific types of housing for the senior and retired population. And as you can see, 1/5 of the people that took the survey thought it was the number one priority. And then another 1/5 thought it was the number two priority. But then on the other end, you see another 1/5 thought it was the last priority. But we do see it was, you know, a good percentage of people thought it was pretty high up there in terms of priority. But we still want to really drive that discussion because it's incredibly important and something we should start working on now. And then on to the fun stuff, historic preservation, the reason why you guys are here. So this was a question on historic preservation actions in Savannah. And so this is for specifically the city of Savannah. And residents felt that the top choice, or the majority of respondents, felt that increasing cultural and ethnic diversity in the preservation movement was important. Second place was promotion of historic preservation through local planning and legislation. And the third was identification, assessment, and designation of historic resources. And then this is that same question just for Chatham County as a whole. And so the number one spot is actually for identification, assessment, and designation of historic resources, which I thought was interesting, how there was kind of a difference between the city of Savannah and then Chatham as a whole. And then second, promotion of historic preservation still holds that second spot. And then third is developing public and private preservation partnerships. All right.
So diversity didn't even register on that when you
yeah, when the county as a whole, yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
So it does still have a significant amount of people still wanted to increase cultural and ethnic diversity, but it's not in the top three anymore when you go to Chatham County as a whole, which is really interesting. So yeah, definitely an interesting result. So we're coming to the end of the presentation, hooray. I just wanted to highlight the website, the mpc.compplan2040.org. So that is where you're going to find every single draft chapter that we have done so far. And so I've mentioned that we have historic resources and quality of life, but we also currently have transportation and the housing chapter up there. So if you're interested in reading through those chapters, definitely give it a look and give us your feedback. And we also still have the idea map, where you can put a pin on the map and give us your idea or identify a problem in that area, just so we can give more opportunities to get feedback. And then of course, we've done a lot of these meetings over the year. So if you wanna see any of those virtual meetings, we did record them, and they're also available on the website. And we also have some previous meeting transcripts and agendas and everything too, as well. And so this was something that we've also been doing, which is town talks, when we wanted to engage neighborhoods and also faith-based organizations to just kind of get more input into the comprehensive plan from local citizens. And so we've been doing that all through April. So this is the end of the presentation. So just some more contact information. If you would like to call to either set up a meeting or you have any questions, you can call 912-651-1480 or email us at plan2040@thempc.org. And by emailing this email, it'll actually be sent to the entire advanced planning staff for all of us to review. And then of course our website, mpc.compplan2040.org. And I'm just gonna hand it over to Aslan.
Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Hi everyone, almost finished. So I just wanted to go over, as Asia mentioned, the Historic and Cultural Resources chapter is currently published. And I just wanted to go over that chapter very briefly, as well as show you kind of the specific parts of that chapter that are relevant to you as a board. So just an overview of the chapter, we formed this around seven components of historic preservation work that we felt were opportunities for growth and were already strong in Savannah and Chatham County. Those were surveys, preservation and affordable housing, healthy communities, climate resiliency, inclusive history, heritage tourism, and archaeological resources. So for each of these components, as you can see here, there is a narrative section. So this includes existing conditions and projects, opportunities for growth, as well as some statistics and definitions. In between this section and the goals section, we also have compiled maps and lists of all local and national historic districts and individually registered properties. This is actually something that's never been done before. So we're really excited to have this all in one place finally. And then, as Asia mentioned, we also have the goal section. So these will lay out the specific goal as well as objectives that move towards that goal. So here's what I wanted to show you that is specific to your board. It is the markers, monuments, and public art section under the historic resources survey portion of the chapter. As you can see, it talks a little bit about the preservation department updating the maps and lists of all the markers, monuments, and public art in the county and city. As you all know, Ryan just went through and updated the master plan and guidelines and did all of that as well. And so we wanted to make sure that this was included in the plan. The other part is this is also a goal under, next page up. So this is also a goal under our survey goal to continue to make sure that the master plan and guidelines are looked at, as well as providing ongoing updates to the maps and lists within the city of Savannah and Chatham County as projects get approved. So that's just a quick overview, but if anyone has questions, please feel free to let me know. As Asia mentioned, it is published on the website, so you can go and read the whole chapter. And we are also still at this time incorporating comments from, we just had a city council, committee session. It was an MPC subcommittee session. We did receive some comments from that. So we will be, making edits, and I believe we're gonna publish it to the website one more time, but we'll always be taking comments. So thank you.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I have a quick question. I do see it says draft on here, but so is this is currently on the website or not?
Yes. So this is the version that is currently published on the website.
Okay.
I believe all of them say draft on them just because they're not the official adopted document yet.
I see. And so if we go to, and it may seem, I just want to comment because I know Ryan did a lot of work and especially with that list of current monuments and stuff. And that may seem, some people might not think that's so important. I've honestly been asked many times if that list actually exists, and I have referred to it. So there are people out there who do want to know that information. So I appreciate that as well. Does anyone else, Leah?
I have one more thing. So it's going to be a lot more accessible than it used to be once it's adopted by City Council, because we can't actually put out there yet what has been redone until it's adopted by City Council as part of this comp plan.
Yep.
That's the plan, is it will be part of this comp plan as a whole adopted, and then we can put it out there for everyone to actually see and make it way more obvious and accessible on our website and everything.
So. Cool. And I'll just say one more thing. I love the put it on the map, like the if you see something, I don't know if you all know that, but you can go to the map and just like put a little note in, like there should be a park here or something like that. I mean, whether it happens or not, I guess it's yet to be seen. Sean, did you?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. First off, I want to congratulate everybody at the MPC. I think you guys have done personally, in my opinion, I think the outreach got off to a very rocky start, and that was back roughly in like November, December timeframe. However, in 2021, I don't know what it was, but you guys have done a really, really awesome job. Christopher, you had mentioned you'd attended two of these. I think I'm on this is now my fourth one. So I've got it from a lot of different sides. And again, I'm not going to say that this is true, but this is my own personal opinion. I do want to note how when it got off to a rocky start, Pooler was the largest respondent. And now that Savannah is the largest respondent, it's no longer on a rocky start. So not saying there's any correlation at all, but Savannah's way better than Pooler. So I think it's a great, great thing. And I think that the detail that's gone into it, I know I'm pretty sure I angered Ryan and Leah with all of my grammatical error corrections that I found in the master plan. So don't worry, I've also found a few in this one already. I can do that to you as well, but I don't want you to leave to go to somewhere else. But to reiterate what Christopher said, I think the map idea where to drop ideas in is absolutely awesome. I think it's great. It brings new different ideas. I think even Jackie did a great job on her presentation that she did to the no personal bias at all, the best neighborhood association in the entire world back in April. So I just want to commend everybody for your work. That it's gotten off to a rocky start, but it has really, really come together, and you guys have done an awesome, awesome job on this.
Anyone else have any comments, questions? Lisa?
This is Lisa. I love the graphics and the way you read through it, and it looks great.
Yeah, Nick did a great job. It looks really nice. It's very readable, which is what we were really going for.
Aslan is being very modest, giving her all the credit.
Sean?
I actually forgot two of my questions. Sorry, this is Sean again. One, when is the climate change portion going to be ready? I know you mentioned you had the historic portion. I don't know if it's the climate change is the correct one, because under your three focus areas or whatever it is, you have climate change, COVID-19, and resiliency.
Yeah, so those were overarching themes that we're going to have throughout each chapter. So multiple chapters, we're going to talk about COVID-19, climate change, resiliency in every single chapter. So yeah, it's going to have a presence throughout the entire document.
Okay. And last one is kind of a gift, easy question to ask though. The resilience, was that just because that's what the calendar was this year?
All right.
Yeah, thank you guys. I mean, I think it you know, it can't be underestimated how much work you guys have put into that. So yeah, it makes me happy to be in Savannah. It makes me proud in a lot of ways. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, thank you guys.
And Christopher, sorry to interrupt you, just to reiterate your statement about the list. I just came back from New York, where people were asking me, oh, Savannah's such a wonderful city. Where can I find all of the sites, the monuments? I'm like,
it exists. It does exist.
It does.
I have one other thing. Does anyone else on the board have an item or Leah? I'm sorry. Are you all done? Okay.
I just wanted to show you to kind of back up what we were saying, how each section. So, you know, preservation section, here's healthy communities, COVID-19. Here for the preservation section, here's our, you know, climate resiliency. What was the third one? My apologies.
COVID-19, climate change, and resiliency.
So we have that climate resiliency, and so that kind of explains that, how we have that in each chapter. Yes. This is just one of the first chapters that has come out. So.
Yeah, and I'll second what Lisa's, and I'll second everything Sean says too. But the readability is awesome. I mean, I think it's well designed, and all the information pops out the way it should. So thank you guys. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the direct link to that map and monuments that I could, like, if somebody stops me on the street, I can go to this?
We cannot publish that.
Oh, okay.
Part of this comp plan. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. It's not been there. Everything is ready. It's all made, but we can't put it out there because City Council has not adopted it.
Okay.
So as soon as it is, which will be part of this comp plan, is when it gets adopted, when this comp plan is adopted, and there is a drop dead date on this, so it will happen. This is required to be done by fourth quarter.
The comprehensive plan by the end of October is supposed to.
Yeah, so that's when it will officially be official.
Okay.
and then we will do yet another presentation and show you, here they all are. Here's where you can send somebody to, and that'll be much more accessible then.
So do we have applications for the next meeting? It's assumed there will be a next meeting.
We have one mural. I hadn't seen any come in while we were in here. So we had one mural.
One way or another, we'll have a meeting on June the 3rd.
Yes.
Before we adjourn, does anyone have anything else, by the way? I have one quick item. Leah, I know, and I'm not going to push hard on this, but I'm just going to keep nudging. I did ask about the Confederate Memorial or the Civil War Memorial Task Force. Did you have any time to ask City Council what's going on with that?
As far as I know, there's been no new developments.
Okay. So thank you. I was going to ask I mentioned this at the last meeting, and this is just an open question. And I would like to invite the city attorney for Decatur to come do a presentation about how they moved their Confederate memorial. I mentioned this earlier. I have actually spoken with someone on city council. I'm not going to throw their name out there if they don't want to be out there, but they seemed to think that was a decent idea. I extended the invitation to city council and the mayor, and they didn't take me up on it. So I was going to give him an opportunity if he likes. I haven't spoken with him in a while. He has a presentation that he has done to a number of other municipalities on what their process was to remove. I think they had a Robert E. Lee. I don't actually know, but there was a Confederate memorial that they removed just within the last 6 or 8 months. He's also consulted with a number of other cities, and he offered to come here and do a presentation. So this would just be purely informational. I would also invite city council and the mayor if they want to come. This one city council member that I talked to was interested. So I was just going to see if anyone had any objection to that or if you would be open to it. I'm just trying to keep this frankly on the table. And I've actually, because of this Forsyth Park planning, this is coming up in some conversations, and some people have reached out to me specifically about it. So I'm just trying to keep the dream alive of taking those two busts down, among other things. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my view on what to do with the bus has already been stated previously. Yep. And apparently, the river is not a good suggestion for it. We don't want to pollute the river. But my only question is, assuming that the city county attorney from Decatur.
City attorney of Decatur, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Sorry, I'm a little half asleep, so my memory's not too good. But if he comes and presents, what would we then do with it? Again, as I stated at the last meeting, I think in order for any action to be done, I think what really needs to happen is we need to be presenting something to a city council workshop. I know you've extended and I think that's a great idea to extend the invite to city council and mayor to attend, but it doesn't do anything unless they're all there and it's on record.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point.
I think it's great because especially in the virtual world, hey, the city attorney can attend easily.
Right.
It's no issue, but there's no point to bring him or her to attend or to present to us if we're not going to do anything with it.
So that's a fair point. My calculation is, and I have nothing but respect for the mayor and all of city council members. They've got a lot on their plate, and there's a number of controversial things they're dealing with. So they've got a lot on their plate. I think that there is, this is totally my own personal opinion, that there is a willingness to do something. And maybe, I don't know, they need some cover or a little bit more of a nudge. And that this is just my way of giving a nudge. And, the idea of getting into a workshop, in my calculation, is that would be a little more pushy with them. And if they're just not willing to do that right now, this would be a way of keeping this conversation. And frankly, I just personally would like to know what this presentation is and would like to have, I had a conversation with him on my own, but I just frankly would love to ask him some questions. So that's my reasoning. I mean, I'd love to know what you got. Ashley, are you still there, by the way?
I'm still here.
No.
I'm here.
Okay, I just wanted to know if you were still there and listening, or if you had an opinion or not. I think Lisa was going to say something.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering if this presentation is like a Zoom setup, so then we can invite city council members.
I mean, presumably, and that's what I would suggest.
I can do it however you'd like.
Yeah.
And whenever, just let me know.
I'll make this really quick, but I mean, for the sake of Ashley and Eileen, I don't know how much you know about this, but I mean, twice there's been two reports that were given to city council. The first was the Confederate Memorial Task Force. They have now renamed themselves the Civil War Memorial Task Force. They put out a second report this past October. There was a number of recommendations, chief among them relocating those two Confederate busts, renaming the memorial the Civil War Memorial, and honoring all the lives that were lost, including African-American soldiers. An additional interpretive signage explaining the history of the memorial, et cetera. So we have twice unanimously upheld the recommendations of the task force and letters to city council, and that's pretty much where it is right now. I don't know, what do you got? So, I mean, we can revisit this again. I'm not trying to push hard on this, but at the same time, because of the Forsyth Park conversation, this is in the public consciousness again. So I'm just trying to hit some momentum while it's still going. Tom, did you?
Well, I mean, I share remarkably Sean's concern that, you know, is this going to be a wasted effort? I mean, it's one thing for just our personal information, but you know, I'm always of the point of this, if it's not going to go anywhere,
so that's fair, but I can guarantee you that doing nothing will do nothing. That's my position. So doing nothing is guaranteed to do nothing. So I mean, and I totally understand that. My hope is that I could reach out and have conversations with individual city council members and be a little more persuasive. I've already had a couple of, you know, sort of off the record conversations, and there is, and I'm not going to speak for anybody individually, but there is appetite from some city council members to do something for sure. Whether that happens, whether the entire city council and the mayor can get behind that, I don't know. But really, honestly, I'm just trying. So, I mean, it's a fair point. Sean,
I have a question.
Lisa, I'm sorry.
Maybe his presentation is already videotaped. Mm. That way we won't waste his time.
Here's what I'll do. If this is okay with all you,
yeah,
I'll reach out to him and see if he's even interested.
Okay.
And then just see what the details of that would be. Is that okay? And then I'll just come back to you guys with that. But I mean, I don't, you know, I also don't want to waste you all's time either in doing something that's not going to get us anywhere, but I mean, I'm also not going to shut up about this. Yeah, no, I agree,
Mr. Chairman.
Say what you say.
I was just going to say that, you know, at this time, I wish that we had a stronger something to do.
Yeah,
right. I guess that's the frustration. We gave the letter, we already recommended twice to them, trying to nudge them. You're right, a nudge, it's you're grasping for something to move forward on. And I can understand that. It makes sense. I just, you know, don't want it to be a lot of words and wasted effort.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that's a fair point,
but I like your point. Doing nothing happened,
right?
That's a legitimate reference. Okay,
Sean.
Mr. Chairman, actually, I had something to say, but I heard Ashley try to chime in.
I'm sorry, Ashley, did you?
I'll let her go.
Oh,
first.
No, Sean, you can go first.
No, Ashley, you went before.
No, Sean's spoken enough.
I just think, that's something, some momentum would be good. I agree that doing nothing does nothing, and some progress, especially about now this is in the public consciousness, would be really important.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. So I'll go ahead, Sean, with your thought.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make one point of clarification and a comment. First, the Forsyth Park Master Plan does not address the Civil War Memorial.
Correct.
It does not. So that, I know a lot of in the listening sessions that people have asked that, but they preface every single thing. We do not address the Civil War Memorial.
Not just that one, but no monuments, no fountains, no.
Actually, no.
Wasn't supposed to.
There is a suggestion in one in the plan to add an additional monument. They don't say exactly what that is, though.
Right. They don't address the existing ones, but they do recommend some new.
They recommend a new one, but it doesn't say whether it's a Civil War memorial or a World War II memorial or World War III memorial.
So that I just wanted to clarify and to
know that. Yeah.
I love the idea of bringing the city attorney, but to reiterate, the only thing that we can do at this point, rather than sending letters and have somebody come address us, is literally go in front of city council ourselves. I think just like Ashley had stated, doing nothing has gotten us nowhere. I know it's forceful. I know city council has a lot on their plate. Every single person has a lot on their plate with the insanity that is 2020 and into 2021 and probably into 2022. But we have to push the issue. And if we want to push the issue, we have to go in front of them, because I don't know about you, but if I get letters written in the mail, like I literally got one while I was away, it's most likely going in the garbage and I'm not going to read it. So if you're sitting there in front of somebody talking to them with a quick 10-15 minute presentation, and I know that's about all will be allotted if we go in front of a city council workshop, that carries a heck of a lot more weight than two letters.
Well, I'm totally open to that. So how about this? Here's my suggestion. Let me ask the city attorney and just get his read and just see what it would be. But I'm open to that too. So let's revisit this at the next meeting, and I will, and we can, I would be more than happy to, if you all decide if we want to request being on a work, one of their workshop schedule, the city council's workshop schedules. Cause I agree that would be a lot more, that would carry a lot more weight. So I'm open to that. Yeah. I'm fine. If that's, I'm totally okay going that route as well. Lisa, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was thinking if you could send an email to the city attorney and say we're thinking of approaching city council. Yeah, okay. What are your suggestions? Like, so, you know, maybe what we say will get our point across. But I agree. We got to go.
That's excellent. I actually like that. And now that I'm thinking of what you're saying, Sean, I know you have a thought, but I'm thinking about this too. And I know that one of the reasons that I was hoping to talk to the city attorney and have him speak with us is so he could answer any of the questions about the legalities. So if we are asked those questions from city council, we'll have that. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty well prepared, but I don't know what he knows. So I don't know, but Sean, go ahead. I know you had another thought.
Thank you, Mr. This is Sean. All I was going to say was if we need to make a decision now, and I don't even want to say put it off until June about getting on city council's workshop, because just like anybody who's ever tried to get on city council's, whether it be workshop or agenda, really, unless you're city staff, and yes, we're a commission, we're not city staff, we're going to get booted at least once. More than likely we'll get booted twice. So if we were to approve going in front of city council now, at best we'd be looking at mid-June.
Mr. Chairman,
this is Pam Everett, and I apologize, I've been trying to interrupt for a while. I just wanted to remind the board that this was not a matter that was on the agenda, and it really shouldn't be being discussed. And if you want to change the agenda, do so at the beginning of the meeting. Just amend the agenda and add it as a topic. So really, all discussion on this really should stop. And we will, on the next agenda, if you want to talk about it, let's put it as an agenda item so that we are in alignment with the open meetings law.
Okay. Could you explain that to me then? I thought under other business, we were allowed to have a board discussion. Is that not correct?
You can put it, and you would put a topic, say board discussion on whatever it is.
Okay.
If you look under other business, you'll see that we have the two other matters listed. Uh-huh. That way the public knows that we're going to address those matters.
I see. Okay. I understand. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. So that said, I think it's fair. I know you don't like this, Sean, but we'll table the discussion, and I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to reach out to the city attorney, and I will put this on the agenda for the next meeting. So the public is aware. Thanks, Pam. I appreciate it. I apologize to the public and the board. I thought that we were within our purview to bring that up. So I apologize. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. No, I thank you. I didn't realize that. So now I know. Okay. If there are no objections, I am going to say this meeting is adjourned. We'll have our next meeting is on June 3rd at 4 p.m. This meeting is adjourned.